just to remind the ushers, make sure the more songs in the night have arrived at the lower sanctuary. The topic for today is taken from the book of Philippians, and if you kindly turn there, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians, as you realize by now, is a very wonderful book. Small, just four chapters, and filled with joy. You know, in the four chapters, there are over 20 times the writer, Paul, expresses his great joy, rejoicing all the time. And yet he was in prison. Please understand. Will you write such a letter if you are in prison? To the Apostle Paul, he is a man apart. A man who is in the world, but he is living and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we all must aim for. To be in the world, but not of the world. To be in the world, but walking with God. For Enoch walked with God and was not. And God took him. He's an example to us that we also ought to walk with God. And this book teaches us how to walk with God and to rejoice in the midst of imprisonment. Well, not any of us here is in prison, but assailed and troubled with the things around us every day. Do you feel it? Maybe you're part of the world, then you don't feel much. But if you're not part of the world, you're going to feel the encroachment and the pressures of the world pressing on you. Then in those times, you need the Lord. You need to look to the Lord. That's why I stress on praying. That's why I stress on singing the chorus, constantly abiding. Is your Savior constantly with you? Or better to say, are you constantly with the Savior? Because he says, I'm with you always. You know, when he went to heaven, there was a promise. I'm with you always. Are you always with him? So this is it. Now let's look into the text of today's message. We read from verse 23 to 27. The Apostle Paul, writing to this church in Philippi, says, I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, this expression is of tremendous weight and importance. Can you say that? That to be with Christ is far better. That means you cross the barrier of death, and with the assurance that absent in the body is present with the Lord. And you say, if I could be in that territory with the Lord, is far better. Can you say that? You examine your own heart, or is your heart all engrossed and stuck to the world and so unwilling to part with the world and so reluctant because you're part of the world? I say, pray that God will deliver you from that sad situation. So that you can say with Paul, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, far better than to be here in the prison languishing. You say, I'm not in the prison, I'm just having a normal, wonderful life. I say, are you so sure of that? Yes. Nothing in this world is wonderful for long. Nothing good is wonderful for long. You know that. In the quietness of the night, when you ponder and think and review your life and your experience, okay, absolutely true. Now, while Paul has this desire, why should I stay in this prison with the fear and the prospect of having my neck and my head cut off those days? beheading was the treatment for criminals. Verse 24 says, nevertheless, I have a second thought. Paul is a very caring apostle. I would call him the complete pastor. He's so much in love with the Lord, yet with his flock. I pray oftentimes as I read this story of Paul that God will help me to be in certain ways like Paul, to be so concerned and in love with the congregation. Not easy when you have 1,000 and more. And when I met a young man this morning, I said, hello, who are you? He says, okay, I'm so and so. I said, please understand, it is likely I'm going to ask you your name about 10 more times and I still forget. Can't be helped. Firstly, the memory is not good. Secondly, there are too many people. You know, there are about 18 Davids in our church. Only the one name is 18. I counted in the directory. So it is. We have a large family. And Paul is talking to a church in Philippi. Where is Philippi? It's not his territory. He's a Jew, now imprisoned in Rome, and thinking of a church in Macedonia. That is his concern. His parish. And he's very concerned for the members in this church. So he says, verse 24, nevertheless, while I want to depart to be with Christ, far better, nevertheless, I think of you. I say the same here. Nevertheless, I think of the flock, the congregation, the friends who in so many ways are dependent on the pastor, on the session, on the leaders for direction, for comfort, for help in all kinds of situations. So it is. This is the kind of relationship that we build over the years. So Paul says in verse 24, nevertheless, for me to abide with you is much more needed by you. From your viewpoint, if your pastor were to depart suddenly, then you are bereft of somebody who cared for you. That is the consideration here in verse 24. Then Paul says, I've been thinking of this while in prison. In prison, you can't go very far. You can't do many things, you know. You're tied to a guard the whole day and you cannot do anything much in private. But he says this, look, verse 25. I have this confidence as I ponder. I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy of faith. Yes, this is the connection, the relationship between shepherd and sheep. You understand that. It is such a wonderful analogy, comparison. How does the pastor relate to the congregation? It's like shepherd with sheep. The true shepherd, not the hireling that our Lord refers to. Not the one who watches 9 to 4 and then he clocks off and he goes away. The true shepherd is with the flock day and night. Sleeps with the flock. Thinks with the flock. Plans for the flock. This is the true pastor. And here is the true pastor. He says, verse 25, as I ponder my future. He didn't say this. He didn't write this down, but I expect that in his meditation, God indicates to him that, no, there is a possibility you will still be able to meet and visit with your flock and to comfort them in person. So different than from a letter. Don't you think so? I lived for 26 months in Ireland, it's in my book. And my staple diet was the blue letter. You know what is the blue letter in those days? Today you don't use that anymore. You do internet, you do computer, instant communication, and you can even talk and see, free of charge almost. In those days, 26 months, you say goodbye and you don't see and don't hear except three times. And three times it is $8.60 per minute per time. When they made one call, it says half my day's salary gone already. So you don't talk too much. Besides, when I talk, on the other end, my wife is crying. So here it is. Now, Paul says, I think there is a chance, good prospect, I shall come and visit with you and see you face to face, because that is for the sake of the furtherance and joy of your faith. Does your faith give you joy? Or is it a dry and morose kind of faith? That, as though I only need Jesus, I only have Jesus when I'm sick, when I'm in big trouble, then I look for Jesus. No. Jesus should be with us day and night. Waking, sleeping, do you have the Savior with you all the time? Happy or sad? Not only when you're sad and in trouble, do you look for Jesus? When you're happy, do you look for Jesus? This is the test. So here it is. Paul says, I think I will come and see you. I think God will allow me to come and see you. And so truly, in the third missionary journey, he visited the church in Philippi. As he had hoped, here is the pastoral heart. I want to see you, even though it may not be possible, but God enabled. Verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again, I know all of you are praying for me. The true church prays for the pastor, and the faithful pastor prays for the church. This is the connection. The relationship is so warm, so real, so practical. Verses. Now we come to the crunch verse, the theme verse from which our message is taken. Only let your conversation, that this word is a big word. It just doesn't mean just what you speak, you know. It does, but it includes far more than what you speak. Now let's read on. Paul says to us, while this letter is addressed to the Philippian Christian, it is very applicable to us. Let your conversation be as it becomes, or becometh, the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or else I cannot come and I'm absent, I may still hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Now this is the prayer wish. What is Paul's wish for us? Here it is. Pay attention. That I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. The church may be 1,000, may be 100, may be 50, may be 20, doesn't matter. But all in the church should have one common ambition, one common hope, one common objective. What is your objective? In this case, Paul says, let all of you have one objective, a common objective. What is it? That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel is the most precious thing we have. Nothing else matters so much. What did Jesus say? You're looking for the best thing in life. And when you found it, you sell everything you have and buy that one great pearl of great price. What is the pearl of great price? It stands for all that God has in mind prepared for those who love Him. And Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. So when you found Jesus Christ Everything else is of no consequence, no value. All I need is Jesus. And here, Paul is writing to the people, let you all have the same stand, in one spirit, with one mind. In other words, no division. What is that oneness of thinking, of ambition, of hope, of your whole life objective? What is it? The faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ Himself. For without Him there is no faith of the gospel. He came to give us that faith of the gospel. And when you found it, my, you sell everything else and just buy that one great pearl. This is an analogy to crystallize your thinking today. Do you have Jesus Christ and His gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is that God so loved me. Yes, the rest you know. Sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior, to take my place, to bear my sins, my fault, and all the debts I owe because of my sins, to take it from me because I couldn't bear it, and then to give me His righteousness and His life eternal. This is the faith of the gospel. Do you have it? Now, all of you who came to be members of this church stood on this stage at one time or another. And you were questioned, do you believe Jesus Christ and receive Him as your only personal Savior? Did you all say that? Of course. There's no other way into God's kingdom except through this wonderful Savior. And if that is so, Paul says, well, I want to come and see you. I may or may not, I don't know. But the most important thing in my mind for you is this concern, one concern, that you stand fast, all of you. Let not this Savior, Jesus Christ, at any time be cheapened. Today He is cheapened in many churches. Amazing. So those who practice laughing revival, you know what they say? Oh, today I saw Jesus Christ as a statue 600 feet tall. And I reach up to Him and pull Him down. Wow, this is cheapening of the Lord Jesus. Imaginations and fiction put into the so-called religion today. And out of it springs mega churches. And when they finish the service, they say, oh, it's like a rock concert. How wonderful. How wonderful. When you come to that, then it is very sad departure from the faith of the gospel. What is the faith of the gospel? I don't know any other gospel except that one gospel. For there is only one gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So says Paul, that is gospel. That is the faith of the gospel. Have you got it? All those of us who have been through, studied the Bible, the lessons, you all understand what I'm talking about. You all understand because you have. You have received. You've been challenged. What is your life worth for? What are you doing on this earth? Where are you heading for? What is the way? When you found it, they say, Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise God. I found the way. The faith of the gospel is what I have found. Only one gospel. So, Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians. Welcome, Vance, and our friend who has been paralyzed for the last 10 years because of a brain accident in the brain. And now he sits in a wheelchair. What hopes do you have, Vance? I have a hope. You have a hope like mine. Our hope is the same. The faith of the gospel. So that I can sit in a wheelchair and not being able to do any more than be cared for by my parents, That's our young friend at the back I'm talking about. And yet he has a hope. Do you have the hope? If you have the hope and also the life to go around and do your work and to drive a car and to raise a family and all these things, rejoice. Paul says, I wish to come and see you. Nevertheless, whether I come or not, my one hope and desire is to know you, standing fast in the faith, not wavering. This message is so timely today. More than at any time in history. Why do I say this? Do you know this? Do you appreciate this? For at no time in history has there been such a phenomenon as today. When the church departs from the faith and falls away into a false Christianity, this is the problem of today. That is why I say it is timely that we have chosen the topic. Stand fast in one spirit. How fast does the faith fall away? You cannot know until perhaps you have lived as old as me and seen the things in the church develop as long as I have seen it. For if I turn my mind back to 1950, how many of you were born at that time? Not many, a few. That is the time when we began the first ever BP church. As I said before, people said, what BP? You mean your Bible? British Petroleum? I said, no, we are Bible Presbyterians. From then till now, the church we started has gone through many changes. It's multiplied. I was counting from the Life Church magazine. There were over 60 BP churches in Singapore and Malaysia and surrounding areas. Over 60. We started with one. Now there is a great problem in the church because they did not stand fast in the faith of the gospel. So that today the whole church is fragmented. Do you know that? This is history. I can talk to you from first-hand experience because I went through the whole drama of the development of this falling away in the church. And this is what Paul is talking about. I pray that whether I come or I cannot come, that all of you will stand fast. Now, this is my own personal desire today expressed to you. That while I minister to you, during the days remaining, I cannot say it will be many, many more days because time marches, you know, and it is no longer 1950 or 1970. It is now 2010. And can I say I'll be with you for much longer? Yeah. In the normal course of events, that will not be so. But the concern is the same. That you all will continue in the faith. To stand in one faith. Well, let's read it together. This verse 27. I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Now that is the most difficult thing to do because of the pressures and the trends and the development of changes in the church that will come, that will assail the church and attack the leadership, so that many churches still wearing the label BP are no longer BP in practice or in belief. That is the fact. All right. So that is the concern of Paul, expressed to the church in Philippi. And that church, he had a special liking for, a special relationship. Like, for example, I have a special relationship with the church in Perth, for example, because I went there first to found it on the Chinese New Year's Day in 1986, long time ago, 24 years ago. And then, on the Chinese New Year Day, everybody comes happy to eat all the New Year cakes. 93 people came. Wow. So whenever I think of Perth Church, these thoughts come back to me and how they grew from the 93 cake tasters. The next Sunday, of course, we don't want to have 93 because there are no more cakes. And then, nevertheless, we grew until we bought a church for them. And until the church grew to about 300. Yeah, today we have not 300, but about 200, just less. Nevertheless, all the feelings and the memories and the relationship with that church remain. Same here. Paul says, when I write to this church, it brings back a lot of memories. That is the place, the first place in Europe that Paul founded a church that is memorable. Same as our church in Perth is the first church founded on European culture in the Far East. You understand? Yeah. And in the old days, the tradition was white missionaries come to yellow culture to teach us how to read the Bible, how to know Jesus, right? All the missionaries are Ang Moors. And we sit at the feet and teach. Now no more. We Orientals go to a European culture and teach them about Jesus. So things are different. Nevertheless, the relationship is there. Whenever I don't want to go to Perth because I'm busy, yet when they say, please come, you relent and you say, I will go. Even though it is troublesome, there is a happy relationship all these years. I want to read for you this relationship that Paul has with the church in Philippi. That's why he wrote such a beautiful epistle, letter. Just look at verses 4 to 8, and I read to you. Paul says, always in every prayer of mine for you, making a request with joy. The church in Philippi was so near and so dear to his heart, he always prayed for that church. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. Wow, what was the first day? You remember the first day? The early days when he founded the church, he came out of the prison with a back sore from beating and scourging by the mob in Philippi. Do you remember that? Because he exercised that girl who could tell fortunes. And after he drove out the evil spirit, that girl became useless. And the owners, the masters got mad with him for robbing them of the income out of this girl, that they rioted and beat them up. And he was sent to prison, but God delivered them. Do you remember the story? Yes, of course. And from there, the whole Philippian jailer's family got converted, baptized, and Lydia got earlier also converted, baptized, and they started that church. What a memory. That church is dear to his heart, and he always remembers. And this letter he wrote to them is that you stand fast in the faith of the gospel. Do nothing else. Always remember there is only one gospel, not two, not many. Only one. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And on the cross he bought my pardon, paid my ransom, opened a way for me to go to heaven to be with God in the day to come. Only one way. No other way. And on that basis, there is that relationship. Philippian church to the Apostle Paul. Now, verse 5. Verse 6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began this good work in you will perform it, will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because you have proved yourselves faithful, steadfast. Ah, how good it is to be steadfast and faithful in your faith. Every day, whether sick or healthy, you meet with the Lord Jesus every day. Do you? Do you have that family altar? Now, Paul says, I remember your welfare, always. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me, it is appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. How wonderful. I pray God to give me the same kind of concern and burden for the church here in Pandan. Always have you all in my heart. Not name by name, but many of you face only, praying for you. All right. So he says, even both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, for you all are partakers of my grace. My ministry, my ability to go around and preach, you have a share in this, because we all are one family. Please understand this. So, shortly I shall be leaving for London again, because the church there I started in 1996. And they say, come along. I say, all right, la. Although I don't like to leave Singapore, because of you. Because there is that bond, I will come. So I'll be there for 10 days, 2 Sundays. And they say, will you preach to us twice a Sunday? I say, all right, as God enables. So it says here in the last part of verse 7, you all are partakers of my grace, that I am able to preach and to withstand all these rigors of prison life. That is by the grace of God. You have a part, a share in it. How wonderful. This is a relationship between Paul and the Philippian church. Now verse 8, for God is my record. God knows all this I'm saying. It is true. How I long after you all in the bowels, in the affection and the tender feeling in Christ Jesus. So it is. Let us all develop together this kindly feeling, because we belong to BP Pandan. Because there is a common bond of fellowship. Let us, firstly, pray one for another. Now, this is not difficult, but also not easy, because you forget. Yes. Many times we pray for family, but then our family is ourselves, and the rest we forget. Now, according to this, I say, no. Let us enlarge our prayer circle to include all. Pray, even though you do not know by name, pray for the family of believers in Calvary Pandan, that we all stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, serving the Lord, and holding for the word of life and the faith of the gospel. This is our greatest blessing. No, nothing better. I read of the Filipina maid. How wonderful. Came from the Philippines, worked for somebody who left her $6 million. Wow, I wish I were the Filipina maid. But I tell you, dear friends, you ask her, what are you going to do now? Doing the same things I always do. Nothing different. Dear friends, we have the best thing, better than being a Filipina maid. We have the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of the gospel that surpasses anything else, everything else. You have Jesus, you have everything. You don't have Jesus, you have nothing. So that's why I want to sing with you in closing that hymn. What hymn did I say? Maybe you just sing 315 again, huh? Would you like to? I think it is good. We sing it 3 times, and you love it 3 times more. 3, 1, 5. No, sorry, it is wrong. What number was it? 115. Oh yes, you see, this is the old head. Thank you very much. It is 115. We'll sing this, and then we go home carrying the chorus. Please sing the chorus for your own blessing, not for me, for your own blessing. Number 115 in Revival Hymns and Choruses. Constantly abiding, there a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life, have you any trials? Come to the Lord Jesus and tell Him, may surround like a cloud, I have peace. My peace has come here to stay. Let's arise to sing 115. There's a peace in my heart that world never gave, peace it cannot take away. Of life mist around like a cloud, I've a peace that has come there to stay. Without books, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Stanza 3. This treasure I have in a temple of clay, here on His footstool I roam, meaning to take me a glorious day into my heavenly home. Without books, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, Jesus is mine. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the promise that our Lord Jesus gave before He went to heaven. For He said to us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. May we live daily in the remembrance of His promise, and to know that our Lord, who so promised, also said, I will come quickly. So with this thought, Lord, help us that we will all stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel until we see our Lord Jesus face to face. Amen.